Well, let us focus on this passage then for today. We are continuing our series on the covenant and getting to know the covenant God more. So we're coming back to the covenant today after the break of last week. And today it's focusing all on the sign of the covenant, which I guess in some ways is kind of fitting for Father's Day as well, talking about circumcision. But it's also fitting to talk about this when we have Lord's Supper, and I'll talk about that later on as we connect this with the signs that God made. So, but you'll also gather from the sermon that it's not just for men, the sermon is for all God's children. So let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us in this passage. Father God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that we're able to sing that as well in song. That you have loved us, Lord, and you do love us indeed in your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you are with us today and that you've given us your word so that we might open it up and receive your blessings from it. Lord, not only in your word, but you also give us sacraments and you just display your love in so many ways to us today. As we look at your word, Lord, and understand what this sign of the covenant means to us as well, Lord, I pray that you'll just work in our hearts and let your Holy Spirit lead us in your truth. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, talking about signs and symbols, signs are certainly something that determine a lot in our everyday living. And I was reminded of that as I worked on this, just thinking about the journey all the way up to the Blue Mountains last week. As you travel up, you see signs saying 45 kilometers to Katoomba. And you know that, well, there's a bit of a drive to come, but I'm almost there. So you get information from that sign. And as you travel up, you see every now and then signs on the side of the road saying 60 kilometers per hour. And you know I have to slow down, otherwise something more might happen because of this. I need to check my speed. In traveling up, I saw a big yellow M, a sign that reminded me that it's time to stop and have a snack, as many others in the church did as well. So another sign that determined what we did. Another sign that might have happened to you was the little yellow light coming up on the dashboard. And it just reminds you that you have to stop pretty quick to fill up. Signs all around us. Just in the church here, I can see a couple of exit signs we don't often notice. Or a lot of us carry a sign on our ring finger, a wedding band, that is a symbol and a sign of a covenant and a commitment we've made to our partners. So we wear signs as well, and in fact, if we look at Genesis 17, we see that the Lord gives us a sign as well, or gave Abraham a sign that would tell him more about the relationship that God is establishing with him. And there was a lot of importance in that sign. Just the natural ones again, what was the covenant? The covenant was the formal relationship God entered into with Abraham and all his descendants afterwards. It's a special relationship that is a binding agreement. It's a relationship where there are certain benefits and blessings, but also certain obligations. And also the mention, if you break those obligations, that there will be consequences. It's the relationship God wants with us. And as God determines this relationship with Abraham, he gives him a sign and says, this will be the sign that you need to do and carry on you and all your descendants that will show you more and remind you of what this relationship is going to be. If we look at the text, there's a couple of things I want to point out to you first to understand this once again. Now, there's a couple of wordplay that we find in this chapter once again, and it starts right at the beginning. When God introduces himself, he uses a specific name to name himself. 99% of the time when God talks about himself in relation to the covenant, he would use the word Yahweh that we have heard so many times now. But here he uses a different word. He uses a word we often hear, but that is only used about less than 50 times in the whole Bible. And that's the word El Shaddai. Have you heard that word before? And it means God Almighty. That is how it is translated in the Bible as well. Now, whenever you find the word El connected to something else in the Bible, it always depicts something about God. Like the word Beth-El, for example, house of God. So El always is something about God. Here it's El Shaddai. Now the meaning of Shaddai isn't that clear, but most people think it has something to do with a mountain. God of the mountain. God that is like a mountain. God that is majestic. God that is almighty. Now when God talks to Abraham in chapter 17, he says, "This is who I am, God Almighty, who is reaching out to you." And this is what he says. He says, in this firm foundation of who I am, this is what I'll be giving you. In the first 8 verses, 7 times we find God saying something that he would do. I will, I will, I will. 7 times over. I will confirm my covenant. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will give you the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. So God is saying a lot about himself in this relationship. And then he's calling Abraham in verse 2 by saying to him, walk before me and be blameless. And I think those two verses are the essence of the whole covenant. That God is the one who is the foundation, the Almighty, who is to give in this relationship. But we also have the responsibility to be in his presence, to walk with him, to stay with him, to walk blameless, to be focused on him and live our lives out according to his wishes. Now then God says, to seal and signify this relationship, this is what's going to happen. And the first thing God does is to change their names. Now, Abraham, he said, Abraham, you will now be called Abraham. Once again, Abraham means exalted father. You might remember the verse in Romans 8 where it says, we call to God Abba, father. So Ab is the word for father. He adds Abram, Abraham, exalted father. You will be changed to Abraham, father of nations. You understand this? Abraham, exalted father. Abraham is 99 years old when this happens. So can you just imagine him for 99 years meeting other people, walking up to them saying, hi, I'm so-and-so, what's your name? No, my name's Abraham. My name's exalted father. Oh, so how many kids do you have? None. For 99 years, that was his answer. And now God changes that and says, you will be called Father of nations. Why? Because I, El Shaddai, will do this. In the next year, this is what will happen to you. Your name will signify my blessings. Father of nations. Sarah's or Sarah's name will change as well. The I will change to an H. Doesn't sound like much. But the meaning of the name stays more or less the same, but it gets elevated. With the H, it means exalted woman, princess. This is how God now sees her. He elevates her, and her name will signify the position that she has in the covenant as well. And then God says, well, not only will your names change and tell us more, tell you more about this new relationship, but also you will have a sign that you need to carry out, and that is circumcision. Ouch. Now we'll briefly talk about that today. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but for those who don't know, circumcision means that the front skin part of the male genital is cut off. As God says here and commands, at the age of 8 days, normally, for Abraham it was the age of 99, which did make it a bit different. So that is what happened. And you ask yourself, well, why? Why that as a sign? It would have been much easier, maybe just, how about just getting a tattoo on your shoulder? Or if you want to cut something, maybe just cut a piece of your ear or whatever. It's still going to hurt, but it just sounds better. And you think about it, and I want to share with you today just a couple of thoughts on why this was the sign. And I think it relates to the two parties in the covenant once again. It's something that God is saying and showing, but it's something that Abraham is also showing in the sign. So let's just consider what God is saying first of all. A couple of thoughts. The first thing is, there was a cutoff of something. And if you think about that in the life of Abraham, when God called him, he had to separate from his family and the land where he came from. When God calls you, he calls you to be his own. You are cut off from your sinful old self. You belong to God. You become a new person. You separate from what you were, and you become a new person in Christ as well. So there's that cut off with what you were before. It's certainly a very intimate and a personal, physical sign as well. So Abraham would have realized, as all men who were circumcised, this is something that is saying something between God and myself. It's very personal, as God is personal to me. It's something that God is doing for me. It's not like the rainbow God gave to Noah saying, well, there's a sign out there that I won't do anything, I won't destruct the world with the flood anymore. And this is a personal sign. It's a promise to each and every one of us. It's as personal as God giving this promise right into your heart, into who you are. It's also corporate, because all who were circumcised became part of God's family. Those who were not part of the Israel, part of God's family, were called actually the uncircumcised. So being circumcised gave you that sense of, I am part of the body, the family of God. Also, if you think about it, God says over and over in this passage as well, that this is a promise for you and all your descendants, the next generations to come after you. And having the sign on that part of your body, you'll certainly be reminded that that's where children come from, and this promise is for them as well. It's also a sign that where God shows that if you break this promise, there'll be consequences. If you break the relationship with God, the penalty is going to be death. Blood will be needed to join us with God again and repair this relationship. And as such, we are celebrating that today in the Lord's Communion. That blood actually flowed to connect us with God again and to correct the situation that we broke when we broke with God in our sin. Blood had to flow, and the blood of Christ flowed for all of us. It certainly was a daily reminder of this relationship as well. I guess depending on how much water Abraham drank, he would have been reminded of this numerous times per day, that he is in a special relationship with God, with certain things that God is blessing him with. The other side of the sign is what Abraham was showing in the circumcision as well. Now just think about what happened. God commands Abraham to do this. He doesn't waste any time. He gathers all his servants, all the men that were around him. Young Ishmael, who was 13, so a young teenage boy. And just imagine that conversation. Calling all the men together. Sarah, sharpen my knife. Men, guess what we are doing today? Must have been a big conversation. Must have been a lot of, I think, encouragement for all these men to willingly undergo this. And Abraham himself. But it certainly showed the fact that he was surrendering his whole being to God. That God was making these blessings to him, but he was also committing to the Lord in undergoing this sign. Now, if you think about the sign itself, it's not something you can undo. Maybe today, medical technology, but it wasn't something that Abraham could undo. It wasn't something you could ever redo. It was, as I guess you would say, a once-off. It happened once, and you committed yourself to the Lord by doing this. And in doing so, you are saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm eternally yours. It's a sign that pointed forwards at the coming of Christ and what Jesus would do. And when the New Testament comes, we are reminded that Jesus fulfilled all these promises, that he bled on the cross so that we might have this relationship of grace with God that we have today. But still, this question was still present in the early church as well. What do we do with the sign now? Now that Jesus came and he fulfilled this promise, what do we do with circumcision? And there was a big discussion in the church about this. So much that they had to have a synod of sorts in Acts 15, where they talked about this. Do New Testament believers still have to be circumcised? What if people come to the church now that Jesus has died for us, what do we do with this sign? A lot of discussion going on about this, and Paul clarifies this, I think, for us a number of times in his writings as well. This is what he says in Romans 2, for example. Man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. See, true circumcision is if God changes you as a whole being. If God cuts from your heart, as it were, your own sinful self. If you become that new person, and God creates you as a new person, then you have been circumcised by the Spirit in faith. Not only men have hearts, I have heard that women have them too. So this circumcision of the heart is when God changes us all, when God makes us new. Paul also writes to the Romans by saying that Abraham had faith and he was credited righteous even before Genesis 17 happened. It's all about our faith. It's not about rituals. But God gave this sign in his grace so that we might be reminded of what he will do for us, just as we receive signs to be reminded of what he has done. Baptism, where we are reminded of the blood of Christ cleansing us, and we become part of God's family through baptism. But also the Lord's Supper, where we are reminded of the blood of Christ that brings the new covenant to us, the covenant of grace. Yet how do we distinguish ourselves from those who do not believe? What does that circumcision of the heart mean to us? Can it be seen as circumcision was seen in the Old Testament? I think we touched on this when we did the series on the Holy Spirit before. When the Holy Spirit changes us, we become different. We live different lives. We are supposed to live out the fruit of the Spirit. And people will be able to see the circumcised hearts that we have through our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. Let us celebrate that new life that we all have and the change that God brought and the signs and the symbols he gives us as we share in this Lord's Supper today. Amen.